Welcome to Faith Victory Ministries International with Pastor Charles Entry. Please prepare your hearts and your minds to receive this great revelation from the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless you.
I will not cease to emphasize how important it is to serve your God, knowing Him, and do what the Lord God has called you to do. It is a grace to be living in this world with all that is going on and continue holding on your God and making sure that His plans come to pass in your life. We don't serve God only in the church. Matter of fact, the church itself starts from home. So, when we say we are children of God, it has to be seen in our daily lives. Everywhere we are, whatever we say, whatever we do, we have to be identified as children of God. It is not fake, it is real. God is real, Jesus is real, and the Holy Spirit is real. So it's not like we are doing something that is fake. This is our reality. But you have to do it such a way that it is manifested also in your life at something that is real. If you are serving this God, you keep coming to church, and you are not even believing in what you are doing, it will be seen in your own life. Because when they that do not know Him and behaving the ways of the world, you will be caught up in it. And that is when they will know you, that you are not real, you are fake. So, if you say you are a child of God, you have to be committed in the decision that you have made to follow Jesus Christ. It has to be seen in your homes, by the way that you relate to your husband, your wife, your children. It has to be seen at your workplace, how you relate to your colleagues. It has to be seen in your lifestyle. That is how we know that indeed you are a child of God. If you are a child of God and not a child of the world, the difference will be clear. The people of the world, they will see you and recognize that you are not part of them. Today, we would like to talk about discipleship in the spiritual life. Discipleship in the spiritual life. We have all been called to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. When He was here, He made disciples. And when He was going, He also told us to go out there and make disciples. So, discipleship in the spiritual life. And I will be talking about three things. Number one, we're going to find out who is a curious disciple. Number two, we will talk about the convinced disciple. And then number three, the committed disciples. So, we are going to talk about the three categories of people that truly call themselves disciples, and we will know who is truly a disciple of the Lord. What is the meaning of discipleship? The term disciple itself means that it is to make one a learner. So, right away we can identify the relationship teacher-student type. So when we talk about discipleship, we are talking about teacher and student relationship. One is being taught to follow. And in our case, we are talking about our Lord Jesus Christ being the one that we are following. The book of Hebrews 12:2, he said that we are looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So Jesus becomes the mirror that we are looking unto, the one that we are following, the one that is leading us somewhere. What he does, that's what we do. What he say we should do, that's what we go ahead and do them. What he say we should not be getting ourselves involved, we stay away from those things. That is a good student being taught and doing what the master is telling him to do. Jesus Christ, when he came here, he made disciples. In the book of Matthew chapter 9 and the verse is 10, we will not dare doing anything that God has not commanded us. So the word says, he said, it came to pass as Jesus Christ sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Many publicans and sinners, they came and sat down with Jesus Christ and his disciples. So Jesus had disciples. He walked with them 3.5 years and he taught them the ways of the Father. 12 of them were called after he had prayed the whole night. And one, Judas Iscariot, was taken out by betraying him. So when Christ was glorified, we knew that there were now 11 left. For Judas is out of the picture. And after his glorification, he came forth and met with them and commissioned them. This is what you have known as the Great Commission. And it is found in Matthew 28. And let me read from the verse 16 to 20. The word says, he said, then the 11 disciples, they left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. And Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. Hallelujah. So this is, it's a clear mandate which is upon everyone and each one of us. It's upon the church, it's upon the individuals in the church, everyone that has been discipled by Christ. Grace had found you and you have come to know the Lord. The commission is now upon you to become a teacher to someone, to bring that person to follow Christ as you follow him. The Great Commission. So we said that we were going to talk about the three different types of disciples that are following Jesus Christ. All of us, we are disciples of the Lord. But there are categories of disciples that are following him. People do things according to their own mindset. People are making choices according to their reasons. They make decisions according to their knowledge of things, their interests, etc., etc. This is the reality. So, what are you following Jesus for? Are you following Jesus because you come and be able to display your outfits on Sundays and that's how you follow Jesus? Or you are following Jesus because of what you can get out of this fellowship. Or indeed, you are following Jesus and no matter what, you will still follow him. So the first group that we are going to talk about, because New Testament identified these three groups of disciples clearly. So the first one is the disciples that we call them the curious disciples. Curious disciples. They are curious. You know, when something is going on, some people, they are not truly involved. They get interested. They want to find out what is the in and out of the whole situation before they can make a decision. We call these ones curious disciples. So who is a curious disciple? The book of John, chapter 8, and the verse is 31. The word says, he said, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. So you can see that they are not really disciples yet. And they have believed in Jesus. But the Lord said that they have to continue in him. And then they will become indeed his disciples. So these ones are the ones that are showing some kind of curiosity about the words and the teachings and the doctrines concerning Jesus himself. Something is getting them to be interested in what the man is teaching. So these people are just curious about Christ himself. But they have to prove themselves that indeed they have come to be settled in Christ's teachings, his doctrines, his ideas, ideologies, that they will just settle them within themselves and make the decision to be committed. That is the first category. The word of God is given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for doctrine, reproof, and correction, so that the man of God may be made perfect. So, these things that are written here that we are talking about, we're going to have to identify ourselves within these different categories of disciples when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. That is why we bring forth such a word of God into our lives. You continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. But we do know that some of them will stop on the way for many reasons. And some will make the decision to continue with the Lord. So that is the first group of disciples, the curious ones. The second group that we can talk about now is called the convinced disciples. Convinced disciples. So these are the learners which are convinced of what the Lord is saying. These ones, they start out as being just curious ones. They will start as just being curious, but they have now become convinced of the truth of what Jesus has been teaching them. They started as curious ones, but as they will keep walking with him and hearing him, they come to be convinced of the truth that Jesus was teaching them. What made them convinced of the word of the Son? John chapter 2 and the verse is 11. The word says, he said, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. He did a miracle, They saw it. Not only they were convinced, they believed in him. So, this is just one of the examples that made one to decide that indeed, Jesus Christ is who he said he is. Because no man can do such things except the Spirit of the Lord is in him. They are convinced. But the situation here is that even though they are convinced of what they saw, still there is something holding them because they want to find out more and more. So they will still not commit themselves. Now they have known what Jesus is saying about himself, and they have known that indeed the man is true. But there are certain things in their lives that they will not dare to risk those things to make that decision to be committed forever. Let's say this again. These are disciples, people that started with Christ, and they were just curious to know who Jesus Christ was. And the Lord keep walking with them. And as time goes, with the signs and wonders, they come to find out that indeed the Spirit of the Lord is in the man. That how Jesus carries himself and the things that he does confirms the prophecy about the Messiah that is to come. And they said, indeed, this is the promised Son of God. But they are not ready to commit themselves to let go everything and follow him because they have their personal reasons not to. But they know that indeed, the teachings, the doctrine, the man, it's true. The man is true. These ones, we call them the convinced disciples. So, now among these convinced disciples, in John 6 and the verses 60 to 66, the word of God says that he said, many, therefore, of his disciples, many of the disciples of Jesus Christ, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? So in the teachings of Jesus, many disciples were following Jesus Christ. Some of them heard what he was saying. And they started saying that, no, these things that Christ is saying, it is hard. Why do you think they are saying it's hard? Because the moment that you start touching their private lives, the moment that you start touching, the word is touching things that they are not ready to let go. He said, it is hard to hear these things. So when they made such statements, they were questioning themselves. And verse 61, he said, when Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he knew in himself that the disciples, they murmured. So they were just thinking of these things, saying it within themselves slowly. Jesus said unto them, do this offend you? These words, these teachings, what I am saying about the kingdom of God, is this offending you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before. I am telling you these things, and you are not able to understand them. It's not because you don't want to. I mean, it's not because you are not understanding, but because you don't want to. Because of something that you hold in your life that you are not ready to let go. So you debate within yourself that, is it something that I can establish in my life and truly follow Jesus Christ? But the Lord said that these things that I have told you is not yet it. There are more into it. A time is coming that you're going to see that I, the Son of God, I will be ascended into heaven as I came from heaven. And what would you say about that time then? What would you say about these things when they start taking place? Verse 63 of John 6, the Lord continues by saying that, he said, you know what? Be very careful, because it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So you can see that it would take a spiritual man to really understand what Jesus Christ was saying and come into life. This is the reason why some cannot bear it. Some of them, they are curious about the whole thing, but they saw the miracle and they are convinced of it. Still, debate is going within them. But there are elements that are being added. Spiritual is taking place. And spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You want to come to life, but you are not ready to let go what is not life. That the enemy portrayed those things to you as life. But you know you are struggling. You know that you are in a life that is not going nowhere. You have been trying over and over, and it is not working. And the Lord is giving you the true life. Come and accept. It's a gift. Jesus Christ himself is a gift. You find him, you find life. But it will take spiritual discernment to know who he is and be able to follow him. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that are hearing me that believe not. The reason why Jesus was saying that there are some of them that were hearing him and believe not, because Jesus knew from the beginning who were they that believe not and who should betray him. The Lord knows this. God knows this. He knows who is going to betray him. He knows who will start with him as curious one and move forth to be convinced and to be committed. He also knows the ones that are doing it in faking the fake. So I'm not surprised about your attitude. It's just a matter of time. By their fruit, we shall know them. You cannot come around and fool God. You can't. If truly you want to live and have life, why would you deceive yourself? Because at the end of the day, who are you deceiving? Everything is coming back to you anyway. There is nothing new in the surface of this earth. Whatever that you think you are up there, that no one has ever been there, because you have not been where someone has been before. Your little circle, that is not the whole world. So what you think it is, that's not what it is. You want to be spiritual? Get into spiritual things. Start doing these things, and then you will see the reality of your state. And your life will never be the same. People say that they have everything that they don't need God. You wait until something hits you that you're going to see that you miss everything. You miss everything. You think the Lord is not knowing you. God knows you. He predestinated you. Romans 8, 29. He has known you and he had already predestinated you. And he knows they that are going to say no to him. Jacob and Esau, these are two children in the womb, twins, born the same day. But the Lord knew one would take the things of God serious and follow him. Another is ready to exchange the glorious blessings of the Lord with soup. And we have many of them like this. Born in godly homes. But they are ready to exchange their destinies for peanuts. Because they do not have spiritual understanding. Not wonder. Just struggle over struggle and over struggle and over struggle. A time comes in a man's life that you should not be lying to yourself. When things are not right, you have to know that they are not right. Something definitely is wrong somewhere. And you have to come back to your senses. Have the humility and come and say that, Lord, I messed up. The wonderful thing about Christianity is the only religion that if you are not sinner, you cannot be a Christian. All religions are saying that, they say you have to be good before you come. Jesus said you have to be a sinner before I can accept you. That is Christianity. So if the devil is out there and letting you believe that you are worthless, there is no way that you will worth anything for God. That matter of fact, God has already rejected you. I have come with the word of God to tell you that you are very welcome. I have come with the word of God to let you know that you are the one that Jesus is looking for. I have come with the word of God to tell you that Jesus has a seat for you. Let go the battle that is within your mind. Satan captured their minds and fight them in life. Jesus is life for everyone that will make the decision to follow him. So verse 65 of John 6. Then Jesus said again, because we have known you before, he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. No man can come unto me except it was given unto him of my Father. You can't follow him if you have not been called to follow him. So is God partial? God forbid that the Lord is partial. God is not partial. So how come, as you are asking within yourself right now, that except God calls a person, then he cannot follow Jesus Christ? The wisdom of Almighty God is mighty. The Lord knows. He has given. The starting point is the same for everybody. But we know they that are going to exchange their destinies for money. The Lord knows. But he will pretend like if nothing is ever happening, even though he knows where he is taking you. We are the only ones. Man is the only creature of God that God gave him the free will. The son cannot decide one morning and say that today I am in strike. I'm not going to set. Or I'm not going to rise. No way. Every single creation of God obey at the Lord. Because that is how God made them. But when it comes to man, the Lord has given man the free will. The judgment is ahead. We were wondering, said, the Lord told Saul, he said, Saul, go and destroy the Amalekites. Destroy women, destroy men, destroy children, destroy animals. Animals? Is God holding them also accountable? He is holding them accountable. Destroy them. The only enemy of man, when the Lord is with you, is yourself. It's yourself. Because there is nothing that can resist God except the will of man. What you don't want, God will not do it for you. God is not Satan. That is why Jesus Christ can stand at the door and knocking for entire life of man and waiting for that man to decide to open that door. He will be knocking. Satan will not knock anything. He will come and break it. Come, let's go. God is not like that. A man's will. You want to follow him, you hear his word by curiosity. You are convinced by what you see of what he says of himself. Then afterwards, you make the decision. The Father have known who is going to choose him and who is not. That is the reason why I tell you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. The moment that Jesus Christ made that statement in John 6:60, the word said, he said, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That's it. The moment that he said these things, many of his disciples, they went back. He said, that's it, I'm done. Continue your journey. The decision that they have made, God knew that this is what they will make out of the gift of God to them. You don't want it. Keep your gift. These people, they are part of the second group of disciples. They are convinced disciples, but the saying is too much for them. They knew that Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah, but they are not ready to risk their lives. So when he taught them the deep truth, they don't want to accept it. And they turn back. You know, it is simple. This is the situation that you come and you hear the word of God, but you are in a situation that the word that you have heard is touching that situation. The word that you heard is talking about that particular situation that you hold so much. And you have to make a choice. You're going to have to make a choice. Either you let go of the situation and follow Jesus Christ, or you let go Jesus and follow the situation that will lead you to death, because he said that it is only in him that life is. But they hear these sayings of Christ. They compared these things with their lives, with what they have, and they said, no way. I prefer keeping these things either than following Jesus Christ, or rather than following Jesus. This is the reality of a man, and this is what we are living for. As of today, many are going through this debate within themselves. What am I doing? So you can be coming to church on and off at your convenience. You are in a situation that the word, as you come over and over, the Lord tells you that this situation is a situation of sin. The way you carry yourself with your husband, how you talk to your wife, the things that you do, your home is on fire and you come here and behaving like a child of God. No way, no way, no way. The Lord tells you that his church starts from home. Start from home. You want peace in the church? Let there be peace in your home. And we come to church and great worship unto the Lord. You have to live a life that you are truly transforming the daily things that are happening. The year is coming to an end. And many are going to make resolutions. The Holy Spirit that is given, it is given for a man to be led to the mirror of Jesus and looking unto him. As we said, we came to him as sinners. So automatically, as you are looking onto that mirror, a mirror that will not deceive you, every single spot, dark spot in your life shall be seen. But the choice is yours. And the power has been given for you to work out the things that are not making your home a joyful place to live. You're telling your husband to come to church. The husband is not coming because he's seeing your attitude and he wonders what God you are serving. Your preaching will not convince your husband because your attitude speaks more than your preaching. But without you saying nothing, by your conduct alone, the one day you see that your husband, hey children, get yourself together. We are going to church. And then that day, you just bowed your head and said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord wants to see in his children. If you are not ready to let go certain things because you are not ready to risk your life for what Jesus has taught you and have a true life, you will lose your entire life. Convinced disciples. A second category in the convinced disciples are the ones that they are ready. They are not, you know, so we said that they are not ready to let go certain sins in their lives. One is not ready to risk anything. Another one is not ready to let go a sin in that person's life. Not ready to risk anything. You don't want to. You are looking. Let's take the example. You are looking for a job. And only God knows that in America, it's a land of work. That is why they call it a land of opportunity. The opportunity for you to work and to prove yourself. That's what it means. But it happens that you have been out of work for months. For things are hard. And you have been praying and praying and praying and praying. And the Lord opened the door. So they call you for the interview and they ask you, they said that, okay, we have the 7 days. Which days do you want to work? Say, I want the 7 days. I want the 7 days. I am, he said, what day are you available? You said, I am available from Monday to Sunday. God is not in the picture. But by the time that you are looking for God to open a door for interview, praise the Lord. Father, you are my God. Hallelujah. There is no one like you. I bless your name. I will worship you till the end of my life if you give me this job. And the Lord gave you the job. And he said that I will worship you from that job place. I will worship you from that job place. We call for prayer nights. We call for prayer days. You are working. You did not make room for God. John 8:31. The word says, I'm going to read from 31 to 34. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered Jesus, right? They said that, you know, we are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. Whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. These cannot be disciples. They commit sin. They are servant of sin, which means that their master is Satan. That's it. You have already chosen your master. You become the disciple of the devil. Okay, number three category, and this is the last one that we truly call them, the true disciples. These ones, we call them the committed disciple. The committed disciple. So the committed disciple is the one that started as a curious disciple. From curiosity, he moved to be convinced. And now that he is convinced, he starts being committed. That is why we call them the committed disciples. These committed disciples, they have accepted the truth. They are willing to follow the truth no matter where it leads them. They are willing to follow the truth no matter what they will suffer out of that decision. So these ones, they will be identified themselves with Jesus Christ's rejection. These are the ones that will be able to bear their cross daily. They will be committed. They take the word. They walk by the word of God, by the leadings of the Holy Spirit. And these are the ones are committed in their homes to follow what the word is teaching them. They see the husband as the head of the family. They respect and love their wives. The word of God is seen in their daily lives. And the transformation is clear at their workplaces, at their homes, at their behaviors, anywhere that they are. They are recognized as the children of God and disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, verse 67 to 69. The word says, he said, then Jesus said unto his 12 disciples, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Jesus. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord. These are the ones, they started slowly, curiosity, convinced now. And now they have come to a point to realize that, Lord, you are my all in all. Jesus, you are my all in all. Without you, indeed, I can do nothing. They that could not take the word of God because it was touching, their sins, they have gone. They left. So Jesus asked them, what about you guys? The 12 disciples said, what about you guys? Are you still also going to leave me? Or what are you? Peter answered, said, Jesus, please have your peace. Because we have nowhere to go. We have come to find out that indeed you are the Messiah. You are the truth. You are the way. You are the life. Where do you want us to go? There is no life out there except continue following you and fulfill what God has called us to do. That was Peter's statement. So when we talk about the discipleship and the spiritual life, we are talking about this category of disciples. They that have come, like Peter type, they that have come to a point that they identify themselves with Jesus Christ. They carry their cross every single day. There is no other life beside the life in Christ Jesus. These are the ones that we call the committed disciples of the living God. Luke chapter 9 and the verses 23 to 36. The word of God says, let me read from 23 to 26. The word says, he said, Jesus said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. If any man will come after me, if you truly want to be a committed disciple, deny yourself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whomsoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cut away? For whosoever be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of his holy angels. So this is what it is. If you have been committed to follow Jesus, then follow Jesus fully. If you have been called to be a disciple of the Lord, then be a disciple fully. In other words, it will be seen in your home. It will be seen in your relationship with people. It will be seen in your lifestyle. Every single moment of your life, it will be seen. And the Lord will know. He said that when the time is up, if you are ashamed of me here, I will be ashamed of you that day. But if not, you carry your cross and glorified and lifting up the banner of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will be glorified that day before the Father. So then, you know, we can simply say that what is discipleship among those who are committed disciples? To conclude everything, we say that the best way to define discipleship is the following. There is a scripture here, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verses 2 to 4. A real disciple is this one. The things that I have heard of me. He said, the things that thou hast heard of me. Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. He told Timothy, Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same committed thou to the faithful men who shall be able to teach others. The same committed thou to the faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. This scripture is simple. You heard of me. Paul made Timothy a disciple of his. And now writing to Timothy, Timothy, you have been taught. You are a disciple. Go teach others to be also teachers and let them teach others and teachers teaching others and teach. So at the end of the day, you can see that it's just the trend that is going on. You start as curious disciple. You become a convinced disciple and the Lord is expecting you to be what? A committed disciple. That is how you can see a clear change of life. You are not the same. You are no more the same. For there has been a transformation in your life. Your husband will see it. Your wife will notice it. So in the scripture, we notice these three stages of progression. Number one, Paul, who discipled Timothy, and Timothy learned many truths from Paul. Timothy was to find other people whom he could disciple, and he would teach the same truth as he was taught by Paul. And they themselves, in turn, in their turn, will also find others to make them disciples and for them also to teach others. Praise the Lord. This is what is called discipleship. Being willing to commit oneself totally to the Lord, to the study of Jesus Christ, and to follow the truth that Jesus taught us, no matter where it will lead you. Hallelujah. This is it. This is it. Today, you have learned who is a real disciple. Today, we have come to find out who can be a fake disciple and who or what is involved in a committed disciple. The Lord is expecting us to progress, starting slow, but indeed, we come to a point that the Lord says that, I glorify you. May the Lord God bless you. Amen.
You just received a word from Pastor Charles Entry at Faith Victory Ministries International. For more messages and other great resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, please be sure to visit us at faithvictoryministries.org. That's faithvictoryministries.org. And may God continue to bless you.